Today's Shi'ur Masechtah Ksubos Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara at the end of our previous Shi'ur had told us about Rebbe and Reb Chiya, where one had allowed, based on the testimony of a father, to say that a son was a Kayan, and one had, based on the testimony of a brother, to say that his brother was a Levi. And then the Gemara said a raya, that it was Rebbe that was the one that said that based on a father's testimony, we can know a son is a Kayan. But the Gemara asks now, if we're saying that Rebbe, based on a father's testimony, was able to identify the son as a Kayan, Reb Chiya, so the other episode that Braisa mentioned, even though the Braisa did not clearly indicate which story happened with which Tana, but the Braisa says there were two stories. One story was the father and the son, and one was the brother and the Levi. So if we, as we just said, hold that it was the father who Rebbe was the one with the father and the son, Reb Chiya must have been the one with the brother and the Levi. So ask the Gemara, Reb Chiya, Maishna ben Deloy, why can a father not be believed to be the one to say testimony about a son? Because the obvious answer, the karav who hates a loviv, because a son is related to a father, and since a son is related to the father, the father cannot be the one to say the testimony. So ask the Gemara. So if that's the case, ach nami karav who hates a loviv. You could take the same approach and say a brother is related to a brother, and therefore, why could one brother say testimony about the other brother? Answers the Gemara that the story where Reb Chiya accepted the testimony of a brother was in a situation of Mesich Lefi Tumay. And most Rishonim now explain, if we're going to say that it's a situation of Mesich Lefi Tumay, which we're going to explain in a moment, then indeed Reb Chiya will hold that in all cases, we accept Mesich Lefi Tumay. And the definition of Mesich Lefi Tumay, which is often brought up in Shas, is when the person who's saying the testimony doesn't intend to say a testimony, whether Leheter or Leisser. All he's doing is he's speaking about a story. And by speaking, we could extrapolate some pertinent fact. And therefore, since he doesn't realize that what he's doing is testifying, that's not the purpose and what he's doing. So even though maybe he's a person that we would normally not trust, here, since what he's saying doesn't require trust, he's just saying a story. And not only is he saying a story, he doesn't recognize the repercussions of his statements. That's why we trust him. And therefore, in our Gemara, when the father was speaking about the son, he wasn't like, or his brother was speaking about the Levi, he wasn't just saying specifically, I'm here now to testify that my son is a Kayan. I'm here now to testify that my brother is a Levi. He's just telling us whatever he's telling us. And based on what he's telling us, we're able to extrapolate, and that's why it's mutter.
There was this episode actually where someone was Mesich Lefi Tumay. Vamani said, I recall when I was a young child, and like usually that was the case, children who couldn't walk, they were put on their father's shoulders. Another pshat, as we're going to learn, he was taken to the mikveh in order to eat truma. And the concern was that after he's in the mikveh, he may touch something and make it and become tummy again. So his father deliberately carried him on his shoulders to make sure that that wouldn't happen. I was taken out of yeshiva. And Taisus explains, why is that pertinent? Taisus explains, as we're going to learn, how do we know, we'll have this in the coming sugyas, how do we know that this was his son? Maybe he was an eved. And an eved of a kohen, we know, eved kanani of a kohen is allowed to eat truma as well. But the halach is that an Eved Kanani is not allowed to be taught Torah. So the fact that he repeated that he was an Eved, that he was learning in Yeshiva, that's a proof that he was his son, not an Eved. V'shituni es katanti, they took off my shirt, v'tbiluni, and they put me into a mikvah, and he was taken out of Yeshiva. Why is that pertinent? The reason it's pertinent is because we know that somebody goes to the mikvah. Going to the mikvah alone is inadequate. He also has to have Harav Shemesh. So he was taken out of the yeshiva while it was still day, so they'll go to the mikvah and then have Harav Shemesh. And the halacha is, furthermore, as the Gemara mentions a number of places in Shas, that children have a cheskas tumah. Children are considered tummy until they're put into the mikvah, because children in those days would play near the garbage where there was shrotzim, which would make him tamei. With biluni lechel truma be'erev, because as we just explained, somebody who's tamei to be able to eat truma has to be tar. Tar means that he's taken to the mikvah and had herv shebish. Rav Chiya is signed, and Rav Chiya would add to the story, v'chaveri medeli memeni, and my friends would keep away from me when I did not to touch any of the truma food, any of the truma food that I brought as a snack or as a lunch to yeshiva. V'yakarnasai, and they would call me Yoichanan Oichi Chalas, that I'm the individual who could eat challah because I'm a kohen, and based on this, Heluni Rebbe Lakun Alpiv. And based on this entire story, that's how I was elevated to be a Kayin. It says, Seir Achroinim, that why is this important to be included? Our flaw explains. Why is it included, important to say what his friends called him? So they explain that if the entire individual who said that he was a Kayin was just his father, we would get back to the concern that we're discussing in our shir, that sometimes we can't trust a father. A father doesn't have the manas. So we added the element that it was my friends also who called me a kohen, and we're not completely relying on the father. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Kamma, however, indicates that even though we just learned that we can rely on Masich Lefi Tumay, the Gemara Masechta Baba Kamma says that we could only rely on Masich Lefi Tumay for Truma de Rabbanon. We can't rely on Masich Lefi Tumay for Truma de Raisa. On the other hand, the Beis Shmuel points out that we can rely on Masich Lefi Tumay for Nesias Kapayim. And if there would be a similar declaration regarding Nesias Kapayim, we would be able to trust the child with that. We would be able to rely on Masich Lefi Tumay and let the person do Nesias Kapayim. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Shem Shetruma, just like taking Truma at the warehouse, Chazaka Lekuhuna, is a proof that an individual is a Kohen, Kach Ma'aser Rishon, if somebody receives Ma'aser Rishon at the warehouse, Chazaka Lekuhuna, that's Raya, that he's a Kohen, as we'll see in a moment why, and furthermore, V'acholik, Beis Din, but if somebody receives Truma at the warehouse, based on Beis Din's allowing him to receive truma, then it's not a chazaka. So of course the Gemara has to explain this braisa. As the Gemara, we said my serishin in this braisa a chazaka lakuna. But as the Gemara, we know that my serishin the Levi who, that the my serishin belongs to the Levi. So how could the receiving of my serishin be a raya that somebody's a kayin? Answers the Gemara, this shita is going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is that when somebody cuts his grain, he's chayv in truma samaisris. The first thing that we take off is truma gedayla, which is given to the kohen. Midaraisa, there is no shear to truma gedayla. The Rabbanan established a 40th for a generous person, a 50th for a stingy person, and a 60th. A 50th for the average person and a 60th for the stingy person. The halacha is that the truma may only be eaten by kohanim and their family and their avodim when they are tahor, and zorim meaning both Yisraelim and Levim may not eat truma. After the truma is separated, 10% is given to the Levi. That's what's called Maiserishin. And we're going to have an hour Gemara now, a Machloikus, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, if Maiserishin could also be given to the Kohen. According to Rabbi Kiva, the Maiserishin is not given to Kohanim, but even Rabbi Kiva agrees that Kohanim are allowed to eat Maiserishin. Furthermore, there's a Machloikus that even though everybody certainly agrees that Maiserishin is not given to Kohen or a Levi, or only to a Kohen or a Levi, you cannot, a Yisrael, Machloikus of Yisrael may eat it. The Levi has to remove 10% of what he received as Maiserishin and give it to the Kohen as Trumas Maiser. And then, depending on the year, the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the cycles of the Shemitah cycle, Maaser Sheni, another 10% is removed as Maaser Sheni, and in the third and the sixth year, Maaser Oni is separated. So says the Gemara that this Braisa is following the opinion of Elazar ben Azaria. The Tanya, as we just explained, Truma goes to the Kohen, Maaser Rishon goes to the Levi, Divrei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Omer, Maaser Rishon af l'Kohen. The Machloikus is that even Maaser Rishon is given to the Kohen. And as we said, everybody agrees that the Kohen may eat Maaser Rishon. The question is, does he actually receive it? But ask the Gemara, so that's why, says the Gemara, the fact that an individual gets Maaser Rishon is a raya that he's a Kohen. But ask the Gemara, Eimer d'amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, what did Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria say? Af l'Kohen, that even to a Kohen may you give Maaser Rishon. But l'Kohen v'loy l'levi mi amar, did he ever suggest that we don't give it to the Levi? So since we could give it to either one, ask the Gemara, why is giving Maaser Rishon to someone a proof that he's a Kohen? In, answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria holds, Basa de Kansinu Ezra, that we find, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Masechta Kedushin, that there was a very small population that came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And one of the groups did not come to Eretz Yisrael with the Levim. And as Ezra at that point punished them that they shouldn't get a share in the Maaser, only the Kohanim, that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So since at that point, the only people who were getting Maaser Rishon were the Kohanim, then that's why if somebody receives Maaser Rishon, the halacha is, it's a proof that he's a Kohen. Of course, the Rishonim ask, how could Ezra have gone and taken something that belongs to the Kohanim and give it to the Levim? So most Rishonim explain that it works with the concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. That the Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker means that Bezdin have ultimately the right to do what they want. Furthermore, the Rishonim suggest that since at that time the Chiv of Maaser was only a Chiv Derabbanan, so since the entire obligation was only a Chiv Derabbanan, they could declare that it should go to the Kohanim. And moreover, I saw the Rishonim indicate that since this wasn't necessarily something that Ezra instituted permanently, he only meant to do it during the period that they're going to be during this short period, that's why it's not considered that he's going against what it says in the Torah. But ask the Gemara, but maybe, Dilma Ikra V'Yavaleh, maybe what happened was that even though Ezra had declared that the Maaser Rishon should go to the Kohanim, maybe a Levi still took Maaser Rishon, which he's Midoraisa, as we're learning now, entitled to. So again, why is the fact that someone got Maaser Rishon a proof that he's a Kohen? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Achav Maaskinen, Kegoyin B'muchsalam B'avu D'hai Kohen Hu. We know that this person's father is a Kohen. What happened, however, was V'nafuk Lei Kala the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu. There's a rumor that this son is a disqualified Kohen because his father, the Kohen, had married either Grusha or Chalutza, which we know whom we know a kohen may not marry, and therefore the child that's born is a cholol, a disqualified kohen. V'cholkelate the day ma'aser breis agronus. And then they distribute to him ma'aser in the warehouse. Says the Gemara, Levi, there is no concern that he's a Levi, because everybody knows the lav Levi here. And the Michas Chinuch makes a very important point, that we learn from our Gemara that a cholol, as we just described, is a disqualified kohen, but a cholol's a disqualified kohen doesn't step down to being a Levi. What happens is, if he's a cholol, he's treated like a Yisrael. Otherwise, the Gemara's raya would not be a raya. Furthermore, Rabbi Chanan and the Kibbutz Shurim says, we need to understand that we are not to look as Kohanim and Leviim are all members of Shevet Levi, that they're all Leviim, but Kohanim are Leviim plus. Rather, what our Gemara is explaining, says Rabbi Chanan, is that there are two separate categories. There's a category called Kohen, and there's a category called Levi. If you're a Kohen, you're a Kohen. If you're not a Kohen, it's not that you become a Levi. If you're not a Kohen, then you're a Yisrael. Ma'ikla Meimer, so what is the concern about this child, about the son, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu? Lo'y ba'il man da'omer, ma'isurish n'asul zorom. Certainly, according to the man the Omer, that Yisraelim are not allowed to eat Maiserishin, the Loyavale. So certainly, he can't be the person that's getting the Maiserishin, for he's not allowed to even eat it. Elo, Philoman, Dama, Maiserishin, Mutal Zorim, even according to the opinion, the Maiserishin may be consumed by Zorim, Hanimil, Lemispikle. That means if a Yisrael comes to the home of a Kayan, the home of a Levi, and they cook with Maiserishin food, the Yisrael might eat it. Av b'tayrus chaluka, to be distributed that food, Yavale, everybody agrees that he wouldn't got it. And the fact that it was given to him is a raya that he's a kohen. We learned further in the Mishnah, further in the Braisa, the cholik b'beis din, if somebody gets truma based on Bezdin's authority, ain't a chazak, it's not a proof that he's a kohen. Ask the Gemara, such a difficult line. Even Bezdin lo have a chazaka, if being given permission by Bezdin doesn't establish, hech ave chazaka, what will establish that he's a kohen? Says the Gemara Amar of Sheishis, hachi kamer. Hachalik truma benichse aviv im echav bebezdin. If we have a kohen who married two women, and he had a son or sons from each one of them, and on the son of one of those wives, there is a rumor that she's a grusha chalutza, and therefore, as we just mentioned, the son born from that woman would be a cholol. And now the father died, and his estate fell to these two sons, and in the estate, this truma. The Braisa says that somebody, just because this son got a share in the father's estate and got some of the truma produce when Bezdin divided the estate, that isn't a proof that he's a kohen. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, why would we think that the son getting some of that, some a share of the estate, because he's certainly a son. There's only a question, if he's a kohen, it would be a proof that he's a kohen. Answers the Gemara, Maratam Tema, Hanech Lechila, Hanenam Lechila. When the Bezdin distributes the fruit, it distributes it with the intention that whoever's going to get those Peres Truma are going to eat it. And if the Bezdin gave one of the sons Truma, that should be a proof that he's a Kohen. Kamash Malon says the Gemara, that is not a proof, because the Kohanim, who are allowed to eat the Truma produce, Hanech Lachila, those that are allowed to eat it, will eat it. And Hailas Vuni, and the other one who can't eat it because he's not a kohen, will not be allowed to eat it, but he'll be only allowed to sell it. And as the Ritva explains the Gemara, that we might have thought that since one of the sons is allowed to eat it, and the other son is not allowed to eat it, maybe give the son that is allowed to eat it all of the truma produce, and give the other son something else. Says the Gemara that that's not what Bezdin is obligated to do. We learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda, Eimel Lekun Al Pi Eid Echad. based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, we can't make a Kohen, we can't establish an individual as a Kohen. Said the Mishnah, Amar Belazar, a Messiah, Memakum Sheshayrin, in a place where people are making claims about this individual's kuhuna. Avil, but Makum Sheinayrim, if there are no claims like this being made, Malal Kunapi Eid Echad, we can establish a kohen through an Eid Echad. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Mishimon Gamliel, I'm Mishimon Rav Shimon ben Skan, Mal Kunapi Eid Echad. So ask the Gemara, what is the machlokes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar? Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hein Rabbi Elazar, aren't they both say the same thing? Because even Rav Shimon Gamliel didn't suggest that when there's a claim being made, we could use an Eid Echad. Then, of course, we need to have a significant proof that he's a Kohen. So, what is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying? That when there's no claim, an Eid Echad is sufficient. But ask the Gemara, isn't that exactly the same as what Rabbi Eliezer said? V'chi teima, says the Gemara, no, this is what we will identify as the Machloikis of Rabbi Gamliel, of Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. She'ir echad ikabinayu. The machlokes is if the error is only done by one aid. The Rabbi Eliezer sovar ir echad, that an error is by one error made by one individual. Then the halach is you're going to need two aidim to make this coin into a coin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sovar ir trei, when you have two people claiming that he's not a kohen, that's when you're going to need two aidim to make him into a kohen. But if there's only an error through one aid, and now one aid will count the claim and say that he's a kosher kohen, then it'll be fine. And that's going to be the machlokes. The machlokes is an error of a chad, an error or not. With Rabbi Eliezer holding it is, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holding it's not. Ask the Gemara, how could we say that that's pshat in the Mishnah? Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan teach us the Divrei Hakol, everybody is of an agreement that ain't error pachs mishnayim, that a halachic error is not considered a valid error. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, that what we're learning here is that an error of one aid is even weaker than a kol. And a kol is something, a rumor, we would have to consider, whereas an error of only one aid, the halacha doesn't consider, says the Gemara. Halacha ma'iskinen, what must we say is the machloikis of Rabbi Eliezer and Shimon Gamliel? The muchsalam b'avuda hay kohen hu. We know that for sure this person's father is a kohen. And now, when the child, when the son was born, and I saw the Ritva points out that as soon as he was born, the kol, the rumor that we're going to speak about, immediately began. Because the Ritva says, if the child, the son that was born, was identified, was muchzik as a kohen, then the kol that comes out later, we would not pay much attention to. Here what happened was, as soon as he was born, explains the Ritva, Nafik le'kol the ben Grusha ben Chalutzahu. There was immediately a rumor starting, there's a ben Grusha Chalutza, v'chasinu. And based on that, we did not allow him to be considered a Kohen. Now, after the call came out, v'aseid echad v'omar, a kosher aid came, and so yadana be the Kohen who? I know for a fact that he's a Kohen. And as we just explained, since it wasn't a full-fledged error, it was only a kol. So since it was only a kol, we could rely on an Eid Echad saying there's a kohen kosher. And because of that, v'saknu. And that's why we were able to identify him as a kohen. Now, also by Treva Amri, two Eidim come and say, ben Grusha ben Chalutzahu. And now, v'chsinu, and we demoted him from the kuna. And now, also Eid Echad v'Omar, and now another Eid Echad said, Yadana the Kohen Hu, that we know he's a Kohen. Comments to Gemara, the Kul Alma, everybody is of agreement, the Mitztarfenel Eidus, that even though the two Eidim, again, because what do we have here? First, one Eid saying he's a Kohen, two Eidim saying that he's not a Kohen, and then an Eid Echad saying that he's a Kohen. So even though the two Eidim who are saying he's a Kohen did not come together, still, they can be combined. But here, there's another consideration, says the Gemara. If we're going to say now that he's a kosher Kohen, because we have two Eidim saying so, what's going to happen here is that there's going to be a terrible downgrade in the respect to the Beis Din. Because what happened was, first Beis Din said, he's not a Kohen. Then we said, he is a Kohen. Now we're saying, he's not a Kohen. And now we're saying that he is a Kohen. And because this is going to go back and forth, it's considered as a Zilus de Beis Din. And we have a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi says that even if it only happened one time, Rashi says that it has to be twice that Beis Din is going to reverse themselves. Because Rashi says that only when there's a twice Beis Din flip-flopping, that's when we have a concern of Zilus de Beis Din. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that even when Beis Din has to reverse itself once, we need to be concerned for Zilus de Beis Din. So why, asked Tosfos, did our Gemara have to speak about a case that it happened twice? So says Tosfos that when are we concerned with Zilus de Beis Din, even if Beis Din is only reversing itself once? That's in a case when Beis Din issued a definitive psak. And now Beis Din has to reverse themselves. That's when we're worried about Zilus de Beis Din. In our Gemara, Beis Din never issued a definitive psak. And therefore, we're only concerned with Zilus de Beis Din if they reverse themselves twice. Tana Kama Sova. So Beleza's opinion is, Kivan Dachsina, since at the last psak of Beis Din, we had demoted him, we had downgraded him for being a Kohen, and now we have a concern of Zilus de Beis Din, Lemeskinalei, because Chashina is Zilus de Beis Din. And Shimon Gamliel Sover, Anan Meskinalei, Beis Din has to do what is correct, Zilus de Beis Din, Loi Chashina. We're not concerned for Zilus de Beis Din. So Rashi asks, even if we're not concerned for Zilus de Beis Din, we still have a tray. There are two Edom who say he's not a Kohen, and two Edom who say he is a Kohen. So we know throughout Halacha, especially in this Masechta, that tray creates an impasse. Why are we calling him a Kohen? So Rashi answers that he has a Chazaka. Since his father, as the Shita explains Rashi's explanation, since his father's a Kohen, anyone whose father is a Kohen has a chazaka that he is a Kohen. So since the father is certainly a Kohen, and now we're at a point of Trey, that's why we rely, Beis Din is able to declare him a Kohen. Maskel Rashi, Hachi, if the concern is Zilus de Beis Din, afilu Trey nami, even if two Edom will come and say he's a kosher Kohen. If the concern is that Beis Din is reversing itself, and we're concerned about that, so what's the difference if we have to have the two Edom who say he's kosher coming separately or together? The issue is the same. Elam Rashi says, Rashi, that's exactly the machloikus that we're discussing. When two Edom are saying the same testimony, do they have to be there at the same time to offer the testimony? Or can each one of them say the testimony separately? And that's the Machlokes of our Mishnah, where the two Edom who said, first one Ed said he's a Kosher Kohen, then two Edom said that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and that is an Ed that says he's a Kosher Kohen. Since they did not say the Edus at the same time, that's what Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are arguing over. Can we declare him a Kohen based with that type of a situation? Rabbi Lozer holds that we can't have two Edom combined for a testimony only when they're in the Beis Din at the same time. And since these two Edom who are saying that he's a kosher Ed are not in Beis Din at the same time, they cannot combine. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, holds that even if they didn't say the testimony at the same time, as long as they're saying the same statement, they can't combine. And says the Gemara, and this is a machlokes that we find elsewhere, but pluk the hani tanoi, the Tanya. If we have the Brisa speaks about that two Edom are saying that Reuven owes Shimon a mana, but each one of them says a different mana. One says, where one comes and says, testimony, I saw how Reuven borrowed from Shimon $100. And another one says, I heard Reuven admit to Shimon that I owe you $100. So the halacha is, ein edusim mitzdarfen, the testimonies cannot combine, until they say the edus together. Shimon karchaimer afilu b'zazah. They don't have to be at the same time. As long as they're saying testimony and the result of the testimony is the same, that is adequate. And the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin has two ways of explaining this machlokes. The Rabbanan hold, one way of explaining the machlokes is that the Rabbanan hold, they have to say testimony on the exact same story. And if they're not saying the same story, Rabbi Shubham, the Rabbanan hold, they cannot combine. And Rabbi Shubham Karcha says, since the result is the same, the story doesn't have to be the same. The other way of explaining the Machlokes, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin explains, that the Torah, when it speaks about Eidus, uses the words V'o'ed, O'ra, O'yada. So it's interesting. We know that you always have to have a minimum of two Eidim. Yet here, the Torah uses a Lashon Yachid, V'o'ed, O'ra, O'yada, to teach us that they have to say it together. That's the Tanakama. Rav Shubham Karcha says that they don't have to say it together and they could still be valid Eidus. And that's the Machlokes in this Braisa. Ve'ein Eidusim Eskayemes B'Bezdin, says the Tanakama, an Eidus cannot be except in Bezdin, ad sheyidu shneim ke'echad. Rav Nosson Omer, that's not necessary. Shoymin Dvarav Shalzeh, the Machlokes, one could say his Eidus today, Shivar Chaver L'mocha Shoymin Dvarav. And as Rashi explains, the Machlokes that we're having in our Mishnah between Rav Elazar and Shimon Gamliel is primarily with the second Machlokes that we just quoted, but not with the first Machlokes, unless we follow the second explanation that we quoted from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin.